So the first reading is 2 Kings 7, 3 to 11. The siege lifted. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say, 'We'll go into the city,' the famine is there, and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die." At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. When they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us." So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, "We went into the Aramean camp, and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys. And the tents left just were there, as they were." The gatekeepers shouted the news, and it was reported within the palace. The second reading is from John 20, 19 to 23. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven."
Okay, good evening again, everyone. Just thinking of Olivia's story. It's great, and it's just the thought that came to my mind was, if God has got his hand on you, or if you've had a taste of God or an encounter with God at some point, and for whatever reason you've taken a different path, is that you can run, but you can't hide. God will always catch up with you in the end. So if you're running tonight, don't bother. It's just, you're just wasting your energy. God is going to get you anyway, and the sooner the better. Okay, I just want to throw out a question, and I wonder how many of you here this evening who are Christians came to faith in Jesus Christ through the work of a vicar, another church leader, a professional evangelist, or someone who's theologically trained and can really argue the case for Jesus Christ. And I would hazard a guess and say that not many of you, if any of you, have come to faith in that way. My guess would be that those of you who are Christians here this evening would have come to faith through the work and witness and the love and the support and the encouragement of very ordinary, everyday Christians around you. Christians at work, Christians that are friends, Christians that are a family, Christian neighbors, Christian fellow students, those type of people. Most people come to faith through the work and witness of very ordinary Christians like yourself and like me. Evangelism is not just the work of the so-called professionals. The fact is that every Christian, whether you've been a Christian for one day or for 50 years, is called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what you sign up for, effectively. And you may say to me, "Well, hang on, Mike, I'm not sure I agree with that. Surely what I believe is a private matter. After all, this is England, it's not Cyprus, and we're all very reserved here. It may be different where you come from, but here we're very reserved, we're very private people, and we keep ourselves to ourselves. So my faith is private, so why should I share it? Well, the simple answer is, no, it's not private, actually, because there is never a time in the New Testament where a believer is encouraged to keep their faith to themselves. Yes, faith in Jesus Christ is very personal, but it is never a private matter. It is personal, but it is never private. And I want to give us this evening three reasons that I hope will help motivate us in sharing our faith with the people that God has placed around you. The people that are around you not by accident. God has placed them there strategically to be around you with your gifts, your personality, your character, your age group. They're there for a reason. They're not there by accident, and neither are you. And I want to give us three reasons to help hopefully motivate us in witnessing to these people that God has placed around us. First of all, the first thing that may help motivate us in being witnesses, sharing our faith, is what Bill Hybels from Willow Creek calls the stockpile factor. In the passage that we've just been reading, we read that Samaria was under siege by Syria, ruthless nation. And the siege was so effective, we're told, that people were dying of hunger. In fact, a lot of people resorted to cannibalism in the city. And so with nothing to lose, we read that the four lepers take a chance and go out into the enemy camp in the hope of getting some food. But when they get to the camp, they find that it's deserted because God has made noises in the night that have caused the enemy to think that they were being attacked. So they panic and they evacuate the site as fast as they could. So these lepers now stumble on a mountain of provision that has been left behind in the enemy camp. It is a huge, huge stockpile of provision. And they just can't believe it. It's like receiving an unexpected inheritance fortune, and a huge one at that. So they start to gather as much stuff as they can and hoard it. And then one turns around to the other and says, hang on a sec, we're not doing right here. This day is a day of good news, but here we are keeping silent, keeping it from others. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household. So in verse 10, we're told that they go back to the city and they announce that the Syrian army has deserted the camp. And so all the people come out and they find all the food and all the provision that they need, and the city was saved. What I want to focus mainly on this point is that it was the abundance of the provision. It was that the miracle was so exciting. It was that the news was so wonderful that led these lepers to go and make the announcement to the people back in the city. We're not doing the right thing by keeping silent about this wonderful, abundant miracle. Let's go and tell the others the good news so they can share in it. So silence was an unthinkable crime at this point. And you say, well, that's a good story, Mike, fair enough, but what's that got to do with me and my faith? How does that apply to me? When you as a Christian are living with an awareness of the abundance of your spiritual stockpile, when you are aware of the extent of your inheritance in Christ, when you are aware of the wonder of the character of the God that you worship, when you are aware of the magnitude of the miracle of transformation that has taken a sinner like you and like me and converted them into sons and daughters of God, when you are living with that type of awareness, you will find yourself saying to people, I don't know about you, but I choose to follow this Jesus because of how wonderful he is and because of how gracious he's been to me. I remember many years ago when I became a Christian, 30 plus years ago, and I was with my pastor at the time, and he was going through my story because I was going to be baptized. And I had a bit of a colorful past, and I said to him, "I've got some diaries." I said that I'm not a great diary keeper, but I did, for whatever reason, keep certain logs in my diaries. And I said, "I've got some diaries that I've written in," and I said, "So now I'm going to take these diaries and burn them, destroy them, because the stuff that's in them is quite terrible." And he said to me, no. He said, "Don't you dare." He said, "Keep the diaries. Keep them, never ever throw them away, and refer to them from time to time to see what God has done in your life, how he has changed you." And I did that. And sometimes, the more years that go by, the more I read the logs in these diaries, and I look at them and I think, who is this person? Who is it? That isn't me. That isn't me. Did I really do those things? Did I really think those things? Did I really say those things? Did I really have those values? It's just a different person. I don't recognize that person. So I wonder this evening, what I'm leading up to here is, have you reflected on your spiritual stockpile lately? The stockpile of love, of grace, of peace, of assurance that comes with being a child of God. Think about who you are. Have you done that lately in Jesus Christ? Have you thought about who you are, your identity? Have you thought about what you have in Jesus Christ lately? Have you thought about the transformation that has occurred in your life lately? You are a new creation, the Bible says. You are a citizen of heaven. You have been justified. You have been completely forgiven. You have been made righteous. You are free forever from condemnation. You have been rescued from the dominion of Satan's rule and transferred into the kingdom of Christ. This is all about you. You're living in a miraculous relationship with the God of this universe. You are his child. You are a co-heir with Jesus Christ. And you are being transformed daily by the Holy Spirit more into the likeness of Jesus Christ. And whatever your past, you have a wonderful future. You have heaven waiting for you. Your place there is assured. Jesus said, "I go ahead of you to prepare a place for you so you can follow on." It's secure. It's there. So are you aware this evening? Have you reflected lately of this wonderful spiritual stockpile that you as a child of God have? Because it's all true of you. Have you reflected and wondered at the magnificence of that heritage that you have as a child of God? You know, we hear almost daily in our society of people desperately seeking fulfillment and trying to find it by going from one bar to another, by going from one lover to another, by going from one fix to another, by going from one gadget to another, only to find that none of these things bring ultimate fulfillment and satisfaction. But as you, as a child of God, develop a sense of wonder and gratitude about your spiritual stockpile, you will discover an increasing desire to say to these people, "Come, let me introduce you to somebody who can bring you the real and lasting fulfillment that you so crave. Come, and I will show you, I will introduce you to him. Here he is, Jesus Christ, my best friend." First motivation for sharing our faith: reflect regularly on your spiritual stockpile, who you are and what you have in Jesus Christ as a child of God. Second motivation for sharing our faith is the privilege of being commissioned to partner God in the work of his gospel. In John 20, verse 21, Jesus tells his followers, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." That means you, all of you, if you're followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ entrusts you and me with the message of his gospel, and he gives us the great privilege of making him known in partnership with him. What that means is that we are God's plan A for the salvation of the world, that we are God's plan A for the salvation of this planet. God chooses to use fallible, weak human beings like you and me to make his gospel known to a dark and needy world. I don't know about you, but I just find that incredible that he would want to do that, that he would choose to do that, when I know full well that we will let him down repeatedly and make such a hash of things, even with the best intentions. The fact is, you are God's plan A for the salvation of the world, and there is no plan B. We're it. It's us or nothing. God commissions you. You say, me, but, you know, my person, me, I'm not been a Christian for that long. I'm shy. I get embarrassed. I'm a bit of a cat. God commissions you with your personality, with your gifts, with your talents, with your abilities, alongside, yes, with all of your weaknesses, to speak on his behalf to a lost people who matter to him. We're looking at the wall over there, which is full of wonderful missionaries that give and sacrifice so much to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. They do a wonderful, wonderful work. But actually, we should all be up there, really. We're all missionaries in one sense. Every single one of us is a missionary. We are all full-time workers. I just happen to get paid for doing it. You do it for free. But it's a good deal. For me, anyway. But wherever God has placed you, by way of work, by way of family, by way of friends, by way of social circles, those are your areas of ministry. That is where God has placed you to be a missionary. And the greatest call of any follower of Jesus Christ is to be a witness to their family, to their friends, to their work colleagues, to their fellow students. I myself came to faith through the workplace. It was a Christian customer, a wacky weirdo with a Jesus sticker on his van that I avoided like the plague for months. But he witnessed to me, and it was through him that I came to faith in Jesus Christ. These are the people whom God has placed in your path. They are your mission field, and we're commanded to witness to them in a very natural way through our everyday lives. The vast majority of people come to faith through the simple efforts of ordinary Christians like you and me. Now, you may just be the first link in the chain of salvation. That link may be an act of kindness, an invitation to a Christian event or a service, or a life that's reflected Christ, or prayer walking. As Alex shared earlier on, the link in the chain. And she saw that chain completed wonderfully this morning. I don't know about you, but I find this commission very motivating on a personal level. Why do I do that? Why do I find that so motivating? Because on that day, when I stand face to face before my Lord and my Savior, I long for him to say, I don't think for a minute that he will, but I long for him to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful partner." Wouldn't you long for him to do that, to say that to you? "Well done, I earmarked a group of people who desperately needed you. They needed your life, not somebody else's. They needed your personality, not somebody else's. They needed your witness. They needed your age factor. They needed your sense of humor. They needed you. And I filled you with my Holy Spirit, and I commissioned you, nobody else, to be my spokesman, and you were faithful. Well done, good and faithful partner. Come on in." You feel a little bit overwhelmed by all of this. A few nodding heads. Well, I am too. And that's why it's such a great relief that God is the senior partner in the business of saving souls. And that's why these next words from John 20, verse 22, are so important to each one of us. Verse 22 says, and with that, after Jesus says, I'm sending you out, the next verse is, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, Jesus promised that you're going to receive power and that you're not going to be on your own. The Holy Spirit is going to make you an effective witness, however inadequate you may feel you are. I remember when I first became a Christian, I used to try and bash people into, you know, being following Jesus Christ. It was like, it was really, you know, it was no holds barred. And it was the wrong way to do it. Obviously, but I just thought it was my responsibility to convert them. And one of the most liberating things that I discovered in my Christian life was I discovered one day that I couldn't convert anybody and that neither did God expect me to. Because only the Holy Spirit can convert anybody. Only the Spirit of God can remove the scales from a person's eyes and soften their hearts so they can receive Jesus. We are simply called to be faithful signposts, pointing people to Jesus. And any one of us can do that. Come, let me introduce you to my best friend, Jesus. Olivia, come over here. This is Jesus. Enjoy. Get on with it. That's what we're called to do. Jesus, this way, come. The wonderful thing is that Jesus not only entrusts us with the responsibility of proclaiming his gospel, but by his Spirit, he's provided all the help that we need. We just need to step out in obedience to his word. Lord, I want to be an effective witness for you today. Please help me to be one. Breathe on me afresh. Motivations for being a witness. Focus regularly on your spiritual stockpile. Secondly, the privilege of partnering God in the gospel. And thirdly and finally, the final motivation for sharing our faith is the reward of being a link in the chain that leads somebody to Jesus Christ. And I've got here in big letters with exclamation marks and underlined, priceless. Absolutely priceless. What Alex experienced this morning was absolutely priceless. You cannot put a price on that. That was her reward for praying, being faithful and stepping out and praying for those flats. The link in the chain that led her neighbor to Christ. Priceless to see that happen. And I want us to see a video now of how we can all be links in the chain to somebody's road to salvation, often without even actually realizing or knowing it.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it. Now he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked, and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ. And of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James. He was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met.
The greatest reward for all that we have been speaking about this evening is to know that someone has become a Christian because of your faithfulness. To have just one person look you in the eye, either in this life or the next, and say to you, "Do you know, I was heading down the road to eternal separation from God, and God used you to bring me to Himself." Just to have one person say to you, thank you for all eternity. Friends, if you live to serve the Lord for 1,000 years and you experience someone saying that just once in the 1,000 years, it would have been 1,000 years well spent. The fact is, the truth is, we have no right to withhold the words of eternal life from people. They've been entrusted to us to share, not to hold on for ourselves. And I would rather have a person in heaven thank me for pestering them about Jesus than a person in hell crying out, "Why did you not take a chance and tell me? All those months, all those years that I have known you, why did you not warn me? How could you? How could you? You knew and you didn't say." So this evening, I want to leave us by way, hopefully, of encouraging us, all of us, to be witnesses of Christ's love with those that God has placed around us in our everyday lives, and to trust Him for the boldness, for the words, for the wisdom, and the compassion that you will need. Step out in faith. You may not think you have much to offer as a junior partner, and you're probably right. None of us do. But if you trust God, and if you allow Him to take your humble efforts, He will use them to transform people's lives. I want us to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Colin. And I want to pray on two counts this evening. First, if you just feel, yeah, I really would like to be a better witness to those people that God has placed around me in my life, but I just know that I'm not particularly good at sharing my faith. I don't know how to do it. I know what I want, but I don't know how to do it. Well, the good news is that God knows you don't know how to do it, but He does. And the promise is that He breathes His Holy Spirit on you. And if that's you this evening, if you have the desire, but you don't feel you have the wherewithal to see it through, then I just want to pray for you this evening. Just say to God, that's me. I want to be a witness for you. I want to be your junior partner. That's all you need, and then I'll pray for you. Father, thank you for your great commission. Thank you for the privilege of choosing me to partner you in your wonderful saving gospel. But Lord, I confess to you that I feel really inadequate. I feel really nervous. I feel really scared. Often I don't know what to do or say. But I have a desire to witness for you. So I'm trusting you this evening, Lord. Trusting in your promise that you will breathe your Holy Spirit on me to enable and empower me to do all that I cannot do in my own strength. So Spirit of God, will you come now and just rest upon each person this evening who has just revealed their heart's desire to you to be witnesses, but they lack the way, the strength of doing so. Receive God's promised Holy Spirit to empower you and anoint you. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit of God. Just thank him in your hearts now. Thank you. I receive your Spirit. Thank you. The deal is now, the way the Holy Spirit kicks in is when you step out in faith. It will be fearful, but you've got to step out. And when you step out in faith, then the Holy Spirit will step in. The second prayer I want to make this evening is for all of us, actually, or those of us who would like, I want us to think of just one person, it may be more, but one person that you want to commit before God tonight to pray for regularly to receive Jesus Christ. Regularly may mean every day, it may mean once a week, but to pray for them regularly for as long as it takes. There's people that I've been praying for over 30 years. I want to give you a moment just for to ask the Lord to impress somebody upon you, on your heart. You got them? Now I want you to commit before the Lord this evening to praying for them for until however long it takes they come to faith in Jesus Christ. Father, we commit all these people that have come to mind this evening, and we say to you, we commit tonight before you to pray for them on a regular basis, trusting that they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.